Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Welcome, everybody, to an episode of Midwest Married. Tonight, we have Mr. Ryan Miller joining us for another episode, and I'm Matt.
And I'm Amy.
Excellent. So, tonight, kind of try to tailor this theme towards you, all while trying to keep it juicy.
No pressure.
Well, because you're really passionate about sports.
I am.
So, I mixed in some juicy stories, mixed in some parental, kids, sports. Throw those in a bucket and just shake it up.
I don't know how good my takes are going to be on this one, just because I didn't really play sports growing up.
I think that's why you have excellent takes.
Mm.
Yeah.
Although, actually, I did play tennis every other year for a total of 3 years. And I'll tell you why. It's because my friends would convince me, hey, it's so much fun, come play. And I was like, tennis? Yeah, that doesn't seem too bad. So I went and I tried it and I was terrible at it. And it was like the most stressful thing in the world. Like trying to not let your teammate down and your team down. Like that's all I could think about. And also I had zero hand-eye coordination. Terrible. So the next year I was like, I am not doing that again. That was not very fun. But then the following year, my friends were again saying, Amy, come on, it'd be so much fun. Come join us. And I was like, okay, well, you know, I'm a little older now. Maybe I won't be so bad. Yeah. You know, it wasn't that bad. So then I played again and it was that bad. So then the following year again, I was like, nope, not for me. I remember how terrible I was. And then a very similar story for my senior year. I was like, oh, well, it's my senior year. You know, you got to do something. They got cute little tennis outfits. I don't know. All my friends are playing. So again, played and again, hated it. It was terrible. I continue to be terrible at tennis and most other sports. So we will see. I don't know. We'll see.
I mean,
hell of an icebreaker.
We're talking yeah. about
that was good.
Your athleticism and your sporting experiences. Ryan and I have a memory of you.
Oh dear God.
I'll never forget it.
Tennis is not the only sport that I'm bad at. Volleyball apparently is a close second.
We invited Amy to fill in sub for our adult rec league. Recreational, the lowest of the
low. No, it wasn't the lowest. You told me it was the lowest, and it was actually intermediate bar league volleyball.
I don't think were we
serving overhand.
Yeah, they were coming in hot.
I think, maybe you're right. We did tell you that it was recreational, but
I played one game. What court we were on when this happened?
The first play, couple of volleys over, and some behemoth of a man just jumps and smokes that thing.
It was like Meet the Fockers in slow motion. And then finish the story.
Right into Amy's face. Boom!
But you took it like a champ. Like straight shot to the face. I was like, Amy, you okay? Because she was in the middle and I was in the back, right? She's like, I'm good.
I'm good.
It's like, when you get hit in the nose, you can smell and just your eyes water. Like, you have that smell in your nose and you get hit in the nose.
I survived enough years of gym class to know what to do after you're smoked in the face with a volleyball. So, yep, continued to play. And the entire time I was like, this reminds me of gym class. This is terrible. This is awful. I'm never doing this again. And then once they know you're the weak link, guess who they aim for? The weak link. And I was like,
I've been there in volleyball.
You were targeted.
I was targeted.
And then you get in your own head.
Yeah.
Like, I forgot how.
You did great.
Yeah.
However, I do think sports are very healthy for most people. You guys both played a lot of sports in high school, right? Yep. What was your sport of choice, Ryan?
Main sport was basketball. Okay. I played football, baseball were my three main sports, but mainly basketball, my favorite.
All right. Matt?
Most.
I played hockey throughout my youth. I quit in the ninth grade. I went and played, I snowboarded.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. For 3 years, and then went back to hockey my senior year.
Mm-hmm.
So that was primarily my sport.
Yeah, a lot of team sports. And I wouldn't say that I have zero athleticism, because in our 20s, we did martial arts, and I really did pretty good at martial arts. Like, it's just not the team sport.
See, that's something I couldn't do, martial arts. Or, like, singing in front of people. Like, my dad sings in the choir. I was like, Dad, there's no way I could get up in front of a church and just sing. He's like, well, I couldn't shoot a free throw in front of 1,000 people. Like, you can. I was like, yeah, but singing is so much different than shooting a free throw. He's like, no, it's not. Pressure-wise.
Pressure.
I was like, yeah, true.
Similar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bless you.
Thank you. All right, let's get this going.
All right, here we go.
All right, here we go. First story. Am I the asshole for making a bet with my daughter's coach against another player? So my 44 male, 14-year-old daughter has been playing volleyball for 3 years. She's on the national team at a pretty good club. She typically plays setter, but since last club season, she's grown from 5'10 to 6'1. Her coach took one look at her and decided she was too tall to do anything but hit. So she plays right side now. There are two setters on the team. I'll call one of them Emily. Emily's mother is childhood best friends with the coach. And despite having played her entire life, she's not very good. Out of everything she does, I'd say she's best probably at setting, but many of the other girl teams set much better than her. Not only that, but she is extremely cocky. Also, her mom is insufferable. She constantly corrects other people's kids and says she knows everything about the rules since her daughter has played the longest. Well, about a month ago, we had a big qualifier for nationals, and our other setter couldn't make it. On the first day, Emily was doing awful. She was messing up every single play, not setting the ball unless the pass was perfect, getting so many doubles and dumping it straight into the net. Her mom kept sideline coaching everyone but her kid and said many times, I know Emily's not having a good day, but one player can't mess up the whole game. But if it's a setter, yes, they can.
Of course.
Then the coach yelled at my daughter's best friend for taking second ball when Emily didn't even go for it, and then subbed her out. This made me so pissed off. After losing two consecutive matches to teams that were nowhere near Emily's level, Emily said to everyone in the huddle that she's having a bad day, so everyone has to play up for her, and we're only losing because no one is hitting her sets. Me and three other parents decided to talk to the coach. We said that if Emily said herself she was having a bad day, maybe she shouldn't play anymore. She said being a better setter takes experience, and our girls don't have that. I made a deal with her that if my daughter could set one match and won in two sets, she could set the rest the tournament. Well, not only did my daughter win in two to a really good team, but she had a recruiter approach her and tell her to consider their college. The coach tried to say that she had said my daughter could set the rest of the day, not the tournament, but we all called her out. Emily was furious and said we were bullying a child and it was not okay. Her daughter still got to play DS. Emily's mom was furious and said we were bullying a child and it was not okay. Her daughter still got to play DS, but she was not okay with only getting three rotations, so she left on the second day. We ended up going undefeated the second and third day and qualified for nationals. I do feel bad though, because Emily is only a kid, but I just feel that at a national level, this should be more about winning than sparing feelings. Especially since the other girls are all held to a much stricter standard. I feel that we could have been nicer, but on the other hand, I think that was the only way to get the coach to listen to us. So, am I the asshole?
The politics of Emily's mom being best friends with Coach. And Coach, in my opinion, kind of dropping the ball. Like, I feel like it would be the coach's job to see that the player is struggling and to make that call of switching things up.
Like, take her out.
Right.
For a little bit.
She having a bad day? Yeah. Give her some time to get her head in the game again.
My high school basketball coach did that. And I was not to be cocky. Like, senior year, I was like the go-to person. But in the first 4 minutes, 5 minutes, there's twice in one season, junior or senior year, I was kind of the go-to person both years. But he took me out in the first 4 minutes. He said, Miller, take a rest. And he'd sub me back in 2 minutes. He's like, you're overthinking. Are you too worked up?
Mm-hmm.
Not cocky, kind of like this. Well, who knows if she's cocky, but... yeah, take Emily out.
And it's
all it might take.
It seemed like the mom was more of the problem.
There's some major favoritism going on here, right?
True.
I think that definitely throughout my sports career, throughout my youth, you would see the coach's kids would usually get more playing time, or the coach and his like group of buddies, all of their kids would get more playing time. In general, or more favorable treatment, which seems what's happening here, right? Coach is catering to Emily because Emily's mom is good friends with the coach, which is trash, especially once you get to a high school level or even junior varsity level.
Or national. They're a national.
And this is a national team.
They're 14 at the national level, right? Competing high stakes.
OP's daughter is actually 14, but this is a 16U team. She plays up.
Got it.
So she's good.
Yep.
So you're competing to win.
Yep.
And at the end of the day, you might be really good, but if you're not better than the other X amount of girls, guys, whoever out on the court, you're gone.
I mean, those expectations have to be set too, right? If you're 14 playing for a higher, 16U she was on?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that was like me. I was in eighth grade and I got bumped up to varsity.
Yeah.
And I was, the stakes are higher.
Well, look at you.
When you're in eighth grade and you're like, oh, doo-doo-doo. And all of a sudden you're jumping to the varsity team and the band's playing and the parents are involved and the stakes are higher. More tough decisions need to be made and the pressure's on. And also, when you're that young, who knows? Like, does she crack under pressure? Is it too much for her? Does she need to go through some learning experiences?
But she actually did better. She was better than Emily. She was better than the 16-year-old.
Yeah.
Which is also hard for a coach to say, I'm going to pull this 16-year-old out of that position and put a 14-year-old in. There's an age differential that it could look bad. So major politics, sports
for sure.
And politics.
Absolutely.
Horrible.
It is. Yeah, it's.
Okay, but we're avoiding the main question here. And the main question is, am I the asshole for making a bet against basically a child? You know, he was kind of like, hey, if my daughter can do this better than this other player, then my daughter should play the rest of the tournament. And the coach took it again. If they felt like it was inappropriate, the coach should not have taken that bet. But is he the asshole for being like, you know, it's just a kid. Really, should I have done that?
No.
Well, it's his time. It's his money putting his daughter into this program. And he wants to see results and wants to see the team win. He believes his daughter is better. I would say... not the asshole. Inappropriate to do in general from the coach's standpoint. Yes.
Yes.
As a coach, you should be like, dude, get the fuck out of here.
Yep.
This is my team. I run it how I want. And if you wanted to do any of the coaching, you could have volunteered. Mm-hmm. You could have applied for this position, but it's not your job. I choose who is out on that court. It's my job. Go sit down.
So not the asshole for proposing it, more it's on the coach.
Yeah.
Yep.
You agree?
Do not be involved in that.
What do the people say?
Not the asshole. The coach shouldn't have made the bet in the first place if they weren't prepared to follow through. But considering the shit coaching that was going on, are we really surprised? You should consider moving your daughter to a different club. This isn't the kiddie league. It's a big qualifier tournament for national teams, not the asshole. Not the asshole. Playing ball could get your kid into college at a deep discount.
I was just going to say, like, that age bracket's where recruiters are going to start coming out and watching. And
well, and a recruiter did talk to her and seek her out because she did so awesome with her setting.
Yeah.
And it did also seem, and maybe this is really naive of me, but in the beginning of the post, they talked about how, well, she had a growth spurt, now she's tall, and so they changed her position. Like, okay, I see that there may be certain advantages to height in other positions, but I don't know. I don't feel like it should be like, oh, you're tall, so then you have to play this other position if you're still really good at setting. Am I totally off base on that? Again, I took a volleyball to the face, so who knows?
We just rotated six people in a circle. And yeah.
Yeah. Well, here's the other thing, too. Like, the other side of it that's not really part of the story. Maybe it is part of the story. Like, a parent's, you know, selfish status, right? Like, my kid's getting recruited and going to college. Like, as the parent, are they more like... Unfortunately, this does happen, that they feel more on a pedestal, maybe. You'll say that my kid's going to Harvard, or my kid just got recruited to play D1 at the University of whatever top college school for volleyball. Like, do they care more about that status and more like...
They measure their worth based on how successful their kid is.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Not part of the story. I just popped in my head that stuff goes on.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately.
Messed up. Any other thoughts? Yeah. What do you think? Wrap this one up. Not the asshole.
If you're playing a sport and sports are competitive and you play to win. So
that's can't it. We all be winners?
Can't we all just get along?
That's why I didn't play sports.
Can take those participation trophies and throw them away. All right. I think it's part of the problem is I think everyone should be awarded for their, not involvement, that's the wrong word, but their...
hard work? Dedication?
Their dedication, their hard work, that should be recognized.
Yeah.
But you also have to realize in life there are winners and losers through these events and competitions, and you need to strive to be better. Because if you are always just getting praise and you're not being your best, you're not doing your best... Yep. I think it sets a precedent where you can just skate through a lot of different things and just accept it. Oh, yeah, whatever. I did okay.
Yeah. You know, it's crazy too. Like once your kids get like, our daughter is 8 and she's on the swim team. Fantastic swimmer. Very good swimmer. And she's going to the swim meets with other 8-year-olds, but all the way up to 12th graders. But they'll get disqualified. They get DQ'd from a tournament. Or they're qualifying to go to state like at this age. And there are swim parents out there that are more hardcore than hockey parents or soccer parents. It's crazy. Our first swim meet that we went to that our daughter was in, their parents sit behind us just screaming, go, kick, 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 kick. I was like, oh.
You were scared of them.
I was like, Clara, I'll just make it across. And she, awesome summer. She can swim 50s, 100s, but, and they're qualifying to go to state and stuff like that. But it just it starts so young until like you're in it.
Yeah.
That, you know, yeah, it's,
we haven't really yet, I don't think that we've really experienced the competitive parents yet.
No.
Our kids being 5 and 7. Mm-hmm. Eloise takes after her mother a little bit in her competitive spirit. I think she's competitive in other areas and not, you know.
She likes to do cartwheels out in the outfield. Flowers on the soccer field.
Except softball this year. This is her first year playing softball. She really likes that. I think it's much more like...
She ran the bases hard tonight.
Oh, she did. She did. Impressed. She did a great job. But parents have not yet been tough. They've in general been pretty supportive. So I'm worried because both of them play hockey, and in Northern Minnesota, hockey is also a very big sport. Mm-hmm. Where you've heard stories about hockey parents. I'm scared to be a hockey parent. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to be a hockey parent. Are all the moms going to like me? I don't know.
You might have a fire inside you that you don't know yet. Anyway, sorry. My main point about was derailed. That even at a young age, they're going to experience how to lose. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because, or volleyball, swim, like it's a team sport, but also individually, if you don't show up, you're going to hurt your team. And there's one instance where we almost didn't qualify for state on swim team because our daughter jumped too early in the pool, like a second. Mm-hmm. And like all the parents around knew, nobody said anything. We're like, oh, she's going to feel awful. And they're so excited at the end. We didn't really be. Eventually, she found out, she was crying. We had a supporter, but I was like, that defeat and competitiveness at 8 years old. That's that was my aha moment of like, holy crap.
This feels young that we're already learning these lessons.
And it wasn't hardcore parents. It was just like the sport itself.
Right.
On that pedestal and you're 8 years old in this big environment. I think it was good for her.
Yeah.
But also it just happened quicker than I thought.
I mean, it's a good lesson to learn how to lose and sportsmanship. And I don't think that competition is a bad thing. I think that it can be a really good motivator. And even if you don't feel competitive in sports, there's definitely, I feel very competitive in other areas. And I think that pushing yourself to do better, be better, have some drive in the things that are important to you. Sports, it's a lot of people find that in that arena and can use that in other areas of their life. So I think that's a really healthy thing.
Yeah. And I mean, you competed in speech.
I did. Yes, I did.
Good work.
It's very competitive in that.
You did good.
I did.
But on the parent side, like that's, you're always gonna have a first as a parent, right? Like that was my first experience of like, okay, now dad, me,
How am I going to handle
the situation right now? My daughter's in the corner crying and her other teammates are over there. And that's, you know, it's the first experience as a parent. How are you going to parent? How are you going to get her through this? How are you going to motivate her to swim the next event, which is in like 25 minutes?
Yeah. So you can't coddle her. You have to support her. Right. Like how do you?
Ooh, it's a first for everything. It's always a first.
Yes. All right. Did you handle it well?
I did. Good for you. We did. Yes. My wife and I pumped her up. Her team came around her and
how cool. Yeah,
it was cute. It was fun. They got her back up to spirits and they ended up going to state. So
way to go.
It was good.
Way to go.
Nice. Next story.
All right, here we go.
Time is precious and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Am I the asshole for telling my ex-wife not to sit with me at our son's games? One of our... Whoa! Crack.
Keeping that...
I think Ryan should edit this one.
All right. One of our kids is 16 and plays soccer. I go to every game possible. His mom and I have an icy relationship that's best when we have minimal contact. The last 4 times I let my guard down, she burned me. She apologized and I got over it, but it started to become a habit and a waste of my time and money. She has been wondering why I've been distant from her. I refuse to take her calls and I tell her just to email me. And it's made my life a lot easier. The only time when I actually have to see her is at our son's games. I really, 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 really don't want her to sit by me. I don't want to see her, talk to her, or even know she's there. I feel like there's this one time when I need to be real with her. It feels very high schoolish, but I cannot stand her.
What happened? Do we know what happened?
Am I the asshole?
Between them?
Just a tumultuous divorce.
Don't talk to me. Email me. What do you say? Grow up, Peter Pan.
No, no updates yet.
I mean, I don't think it's the end of the world to not sit together at your kids' sporting events. It probably would be less stressful for your child if they knew that you were not sitting with each other, if that's your relationship, because your kid knows how you interact with your ex. They see it. They're smart. Mm-hmm. They're not oblivious. Right. And so it might be more stressful for them to see you both together being like, oh, geez, don't do something embarrassing. Put don't yell at each other. Don't like, oh, now I'm thinking about you guys and how I have to make sure you get along instead of me focusing on my sport and my activity and my thing.
Yes.
Do they both need to grow up? Probably, because he could send an email and just say, hey, for the foreseeable future, can we just not sit together at our sporting events?
Yeah. Email me.
In an email.
Fax it to me.
Soccer there fields are big. Fax it.
And just, you know, you can have it nice and edited and say exactly what you mean to say and not put your foot in your mouth and just be like, you know, I really just want it to be all about the kid.
Exactly.
And I know that we have are rough times, and so let's just not sit together at the sporting events. Mm-hmm. That's my thought.
I agree. What's going to make it less awkward for the kid on the field? If they look in the stands and your parents are putting on a front, sitting together, being all happy, and inside, you know, like, that's not how they act. And then if they're going up to bat or whatever the sport they're playing, like, it's going to be in the back of their mind. Like, go, Judy. We love you, Johnny Blue. Like, they don't do that at home. Yeah. They're not even at home. Like, why are you doing that right now? Strike, you're out.
Right.
Like,
could mess with their psyche.
For
their,
sure.
Their
I
mental
agree with you. Yes.
Sports stuff, psyche.
Yep. And everybody else in the stands knows the same situation, I'm assuming, too.
Right.
Maybe not if they're at a away tournament or something. Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I'm following what you're putting down. I agree. Like, you don't have to sit with your ex, and it seems to me a bit childish. Must have had a really bad divorce.
Right.
And maybe it wasn't even a divorce. Maybe they never got married, and it's just a shitty relationship at this point. However, if your wife, there's got to be a solution where you guys can come together and be the best co-parents that you can possibly be.
Mm-hmm.
And if that means you need to sit near each other, you don't have to sit next to each other, but maybe a spot where you could easily spot them if you were playing out on the field, like, oh, hey, there are my parents. Like, there's not one way over there. There's one way over there. And after the game, I got to go drop my stuff off at mom. Then I got to walk down to that field. I have to have this awkward conversation with dad. And then I got to walk all the way back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, come together and just make it easy overall. Like,
right.
The best scenario would be for the both of the parents to be able to find that spot where they can co-parent peacefully and together. And so maybe that is through counseling, whether it's individual or together, in order to like be better for the child.
Yeah. And I would say the husband needs to let the wife know, like, let the wife know that.
Ex.
OP needs to let the ex know, I don't want to sit next to you because of these things happening.
Mm-hmm.
I don't also want to remove you completely away from me because I think it would be detrimental to our son in some degree. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe he doesn't think this way. But if the wife doesn't know, then how's she going to change? How's she going to fix it?
Yeah.
So communicate.
It seems like they haven't been communicating because the wife has been like, well, why aren't you talking to me? Why aren't you, emailing me? This is weird. And that would be weird if you were having like phone calls and conversations and you're trying to parent together. And then, all of a sudden, like you don't pick up the phone and you're sending emails. Like that would be weird.
Not about them in this story.
Right.
It's about the child.
I'm glad that they're both there. So, you know, I would see some people being like, okay, well, you take this game and I'll take this game.
Yes.
Like at least they can both be there, but they need to grow up a little bit.
Yeah, I agree. Most people, say not the asshole. Few individuals have asked for more info, such as what does burned me mean? And letting my guard down seems very vague. Give us the specifics. Mm-hmm. Yeah, not the asshole, not the asshole. You're there for your son and to support him only. You don't need to be sitting together or engaging with each other to do that. Get a buffer. Find some friends that you can drag along to the games that can sit next to you and block her. Yeah.
Not the asshole.
Not the asshole.
There we go.
All right, here's one. We're all parents. We all have kids in sports.
Yep.
Am I the asshole for not allowing my son to play sports after he reaches high school and also telling my wife she is wrong?
Hmm.
I'm 48 years old, a dad to two boys, Daniel and George, 15 and 12. Daniel is almost a carbon copy of me. He looks like me and he shares many of my interests. Nerdy type of things. My other son, George, is very much the opposite. Even when he was younger, he never had any interest in any of those things. He has always liked sports. It comes from my brother, who at one point lived with us when George was young. He introduced George to sports. This led George to eventually beg my wife and I to let him play. We were hesitant, but we eventually enrolled him into baseball. He loved it. And I'll be honest, I don't really care for it, or any sports for that matter. Growing up, I was the black sheep and had no interest. Sadly, now that my son is 12, I see a lot of the jock types that used to mess with me. He has the exact same attitude, and it honestly bothers me. He also bullies his older brother. Things like turning off his computer while he's playing or taking his food and eating it. He's 3 years younger, by the way. Anyways, my son recently told his mom and I that he really wants to go to a different high school because they have a good baseball program and football program. I told him that that was out of the question. For one, he's not allowed to play football at all. It's way too dangerous. I also told him he'll be going to the same private high school his brother goes to, and he will not be allowed to play anymore. I told him he is going to put all of his focus on school, and if he wants to join other activities like theater or music, I'll support that. But sports are a no. Obviously, he got very pissy. He began to cuss me out, which I told him was unacceptable. He said, "Fuck you," and stormed off. I grounded him and said he was to quit baseball immediately and I'll be taking his phone. To my surprise, my wife intervened and said I wouldn't be taking his phone, nor will I stop him from finishing the season. Later that night, George told me he and his mom had already agreed to him going to the other school and that his mom would drive him to and from. I was so heated. I told my wife she was undermining my parenting instincts. I said sports are a waste of time and I won't support him the rest of his life because he chose sports over an education. My wife called me an asshole and said that I had no right to act the way I did, but I feel like my son disrespecting me and cursing at me was worse.
Oh my God. Who is this? I don't even like sports. I'm very nerdy. I'm very, very nerdy. And I think he's an asshole.
Wouldn't you think you'd have these conversations before you get married?
There's so many things to unpack here.
Like those two are totally on separate ends of the spectrum here.
Okay, I was sort of with him when he was like, you know, I wasn't ever into sports and I'm noticing some behaviors in my younger son, like the jocks who teased him. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, I get that. You don't want your son to be a bully. You don't want him to be a jerk. Yeah, okay, I'm kind of with you there. And then he just lost me with the whole rest of it being like, you cannot do any sports in high school whatsoever because they're a waste of time, but you can do drama and other activities. What if you just want him to focus solely on academics,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, why are you should only let him focus on academics? Like, that's not a good argument there to allow him to do other activities and not sports.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like it brought the dad back to his childhood. If he had some bad experience back in the day with jocks or he was never in, you know, the popular group, if you want to call it that. Yeah. Like, it's almost like it brought him back to his childhood. And he's like, no.
Acted like a child.
Right, exactly.
I think that OP needs to learn better parenting instincts and be a better parent overall.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous. It's like you are punishing him for not being like you.
Right, and having his own interests.
Right.
Part of parenting is identifying your child as an individual, seeing their interests, and then nurturing that and helping them grow.
Mm-hmm. There's some family dynamics in there, though. Like when his wife is, you know, enrolling the kid in a different school without talking to the husband and taking him to the games and trying to see somewhat on his side if they didn't communicate about that. That's messed up.
They definitely needed, especially with the decision to change schools, that should have been a conversation between the two parents. Mm-hmm. And they should have come to that agreement before, you know.
At least they would talk about it.
Right.
At least in the story. It shouldn't have been a surprise to him. About it. Right.
Right.
Well, mom said she's doing this and taking me here. He's like, oh, really?
This also reminds me of some stats. I took a minute to look up some stats because you guys know I like to do that before the episode, because he's like, you know, it's going to distract you from your academics and mm-hmm. a good career and so forth. Because I had heard the opposite of that happening for kids in sports. And so, okay, let's see if I can find this. Okay. So participating in sports, here are the benefits, according to the President's Council on Sports, Fitness, and Nutrition. They have lower rates of anxiety and depression, reduced stress levels, higher self-esteem and confidence. And so maybe that's maybe he didn't have high self-esteem. Yeah. And
mm-hmm. doesn't sound like
maybe
it.
He's misinterpreting, I don't know, some behaviors of his son as confidence versus, you know, being cocky, confident. I don't know. Maybe that's a stretch. Youth who participate in sports have decreased risk of suicidal thoughts and behaviors. They have improved cognitive performance, enhanced creativity, greater enjoyment of physical activity, improved psychological and emotional well-being for individuals with disabilities. Oh, that's interesting. And increased life satisfaction. And then here's another study that shows a correlation between the level of physical activity and academic performance. The results are generally the same. Physically active children not only achieve satisfactory grades, but often excel academically. In remembering my high school years, I do feel like the kids who were in the sports were also very good academically. Like, they had good grades.
They had to be.
Yeah. And looking at now, we're approaching our 20-year reunion, thinking of those kids. Like, those kids who I always saw on the sports field, now they're doctors and have really good jobs and they're doing just fine.
Yeah. Yep. And I think at least we needed to maintain like a C-plus average. Had to be like 2.75 or greater.
2.8 was ours.
Yeah, 2.8. Yep. That's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
So you had motivation to stay on top of your studies and you couldn't just focus on sports.
Yeah, you were booted.
Yeah. So, I mean, might be a good motivator to help people focus on their studies a little bit more. Did you guys notice that same thing or?
Back like when we were.
When you were younger?
No,
or
that's what, that, as you were saying that, mine was kind of the opposite.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Or even at least.
Oh, okay.
Of the kids that were jocks in high school that weren't jocks and now.
I love where this is going. Keep going.
No, and then just even looking at my dad, an Iowa farm boy, didn't play a lick of sports mm-hmm. when he grew up. And he's a very, now retired, but a, you know, successful physician. And many people that I went to high school with that were not in sports are very successful. And some, some, you know, good amount that played athletics are, you know, what you would call successful in the professional career, and other, a lot aren't though too. So for me, it wasn't this bigger disparity. It was pretty even, if not more, for other, for those that were not athletic.
Yeah. I guess I would say it's probably a mixed bag. I think during high school, everyone was, you know, had to maintain their GPA and do good. And we were kept to a higher standard, I would say. A lot of those individuals did go on to be successful. I know some that didn't, but I was also going to combat this with, Ryan also went to a private school that was very, I would say there were a lot of doctors and people from affluent families that went there. So I'm really curious as to how that affected
The dynamic.
A lot.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. That's why for me personally, it was a different experience. Everybody was on either the same level or higher. It wasn't this like, it was like, if you played sports, you didn't play sports, you're here. If you didn't play sports, you're here. But there was that others that were just up there.
Yeah.
It was not a big disparity.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, super interesting. So I'm going to jump back. I love those stats, by the way. Very good.
I've heard that multiple times, not just like this time.
I agree.
That sports actually encourage academic success and so forth.
Yeah. So I think I had mentioned it, that he needed to up his parenting instincts or his parenting skills. I want to go back to where the younger brother was being a bully.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, when do you discipline your child and ground him then for being a bully? And hey, these are consequences to your actions for being a little shit.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And step in at that point.
Is he being permissive and allowing that to happen?
Right.
Right. And not teaching him how to be better, do better, so forth.
That's an interesting dynamic. Because it's like if you ground the younger child and the older is not sticking up for himself.
Well,
like if you ground the younger child, is that even like for the older sibling? How do I explain this? Does that make his make him feel worse? Like, oh, they're grounding him because he's bullying me, or do you not ground him and just let him figure it out?
It's not that I disagree with you. We're gonna go back to a little bit of old school thinking. We might get roasted by the people, but is that like boys will be boys and brothers should figure it? Like brothers need to figure it out, kind of deal. Like you want the older one to like sock the younger one?
Yeah. That happened to me all the time. Good. I'd go up and like flick my brother in the ear. He'd be playing a video game.
Amy is, I hope you're watching, absolutely this, appalled. And I'm not saying you let it go crazy, but
no.
the older boy needs to be able to stick up for himself and say, dang it, George, if you touch that game one more time.
Like my brother would be playing a video game. He'd be like, God dang it, I hate this game. And then I'd be like, I'm the younger one. I'd be like, then why'd you buy it? And then I'd flick him in the ear. And he'd come and give me a dead arm. And my mom's like, you had it coming. You boys figure it out.
Okay, hate the saying boys will be boys. Don't ever say that again. That's awful.
Maybe that's the wrong terminology.
It is.
Kids will be kids.
Opinion. However, I don't totally disagree with your point of letting kids work their shit out as far as learning experiences, as long as it's all safe and you can kind of see that things are progressing okay, right? I think it's also okay, though, to step in and be like, hey, older kid who is not standing up for yourself. Hey, come over here. I'm seeing that he's really picking on you. Mm-hmm. Like, what's going on? How can we handle this better? You know, you need to be able to set up your boundaries. He should not be allowed to flick your ear. That's your body. People are not allowed to do that. How can we make sure that you hold your boundaries? And hey, younger kid, I'm going to go have a chat with you and be like, is that okay? Is that ever okay to disrespect other people's boundaries?
No,
how
Mom.
Can we do that better? Why are you doing that? What's the, like, what's at the root of like why you're feeling that you need to be antagonizing? You call him out. You are antagonizing your older brother right now.
Oh man. I had so many.
But Boys will not be boys, but parents should be parents and help them along. Sometimes it's not intuitive for, especially for different personalities, for kids to just be able to figure it all out. Mm-hmm. So parents need to have a more active role. And so maybe that's what's going on in this situation where they're just, he doesn't really know how to handle it. He sees his son being a jerk and he feels triggered as an adult because he's having back flashes to his youth and his trauma. And he doesn't like how that makes him feel. That brings him back to feeling weak and feeling vulnerable again. And he, the parent hasn't worked his own shit out. So he should go and figure his own shit out so that he can better help both of his boys. That's my opinion.
I like that.
I do too.
Did we talk, and did you two talk, because I was reading something about the wife and the schools? Going to a different school?
We mentioned it briefly.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we said they need to, obviously the parents need to communicate because if the wife is doing that.
Got it. I'm not going to bring it up then. Moving on.
Were you guys spanked when you were kids?
Yes.
Were you spanked?
Yeah.
Did you get wooden spoons to your butt?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Did you?
Yes.
Do you spank your kids?
No.
Nope.
Nope. Nope.
We have not.
Never.
Yeah. Genius.
The studies show that it's not effective.
You know what is effective? If you know you're going to get disciplined with a wooden spoon, hide the wooden spoon, but hide it one drawer over.
Oh.
And then your parents will look everywhere.
And then they'll just think that they misplaced it, not you. You didn't, can't get in trouble for hiding it because it was just one drawer over. You know what also is effective?
Oh, it's like you're hiding in sight, you know?
Right in plain sight. What also is effective is if you take books and you shove them down your pants. And then when you go, because you know you're going to get spanked and you're anticipating it, you go to your parents and then they start laughing so hard that you, because you shove books down your pants to protect your poor bottom from the spanking, that they forget to spank you. That only worked once.
Hey.
What are your guys' tips for avoiding having to eat a bar of soap?
Happen to avoid? I've threatened. I've never done it. I've threatened.
Oh, I definitely had to.
I haven't yet.
Take some big chunks.
Oh, did you have to, though, eat soap?
I had a bar of soap when I was a kid.
Yeah.
That and Tabasco sauce.
Tabasco sauce?
Yes.
Joanne.
It's like, yeah. Couple times,
different times,
but now I
different
love
times.
Sauce.
Oh,
so good.
It's, man,
so good.
Yeah, everything I've heard
your
about your childhood, deserved it.
Look how I turned out.
Yeah, we're great. We're good.
Don't do that to your kids, you guys. Uh-huh. Again, let's follow the scientific evidence. It's not effective. They just become sneakier and they don't teach anything.
That's a fantastic side.
Overall, everyone thinks this guy is the asshole.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good.
What did the people say?
Obviously, you have some sort of complex around sports, but punishing your kid for having interests that you don't makes you the asshole.
Yeah.
Obviously, participating in bullying behavior, that's a problem you need to address. But given how you describe each of your sons, I wonder if you are projecting your own attitude towards jocks onto George's behavior.
Yes.
I said that.
Yep. I think it's a past experience.
I agree.
Past bad experience you had.
You're the asshole with the caveat that your son's mom shouldn't be making unilateral decisions. I see why she did it, though.
See?
I seriously hope this is a fake post. You do not get to choose your children. You are resentful of your child and for such a stupid reason. He's his own person with his own interests.
Mm-hmm.
And I doubt he is bullying his older brother because of the influence of jocks. You're the asshole. You're the asshole. You're the asshole. You're the asshole. He's the asshole.
Hey, go up a second. Let me read that one. You're the asshole. He's 12. He's your son. He's not your bully. Encourage your son to do things he enjoys and he's good at because it makes him happy. One pretty big thing that can come from sports is scholarships. He can excel in school while also participating in sports. People are capable of multitasking like that. And since he's your son, not your bully, you need to evaluate and address his bullying behavior. That's what parents do. Maybe figure out a way to make him be more kind in order to be allowed to play ball or something like that. All right. That was a good one, I thought. That was a good one. That was an intense one.
I liked it. I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Do we need to hear any other stats?
You got them?
I do. I did look them up earlier. So, ooh. Guys, ready for this one? This one makes me happy. The states with the highest youth sports participation rates are Massachusetts, okay, and second, close second, Minnesota.
Soda.
Whoop, whoop. While the national average for sports participation sits around 51%, Massachusetts and Minnesota smashed through that average and sit at 62.9% and 62.8%, respectively.
That's really cool. That's a cool stat.
That there are a lot of kids playing sports apparently in Minnesota.
I'm biased because I was born in Massachusetts and now I've lived here my whole life, but East Coast and one Midwest.
Well,
state.
Hey, yeah, look
That's
at
cool.
that.
That's really cool.
That is cool. All right, stats on stats. Oh, this is interesting. There was a study that showed that raising physical activity levels to 63% among youth could save $23.8 billion in medical costs. The Healthy People Program, established and funded by the federal government, set the goal to increase youth sports participation to 63% by 2030. There were researchers at the City University of New York Graduate School of Public Health and Health Policy that conducted a computer simulation model to predict the benefits of the goal. And they found that it could result in $23.8 billion in direct medical cost savings and an additional average of $32.8 billion gained through increased worker productivity. I think that it would be really interesting to see like why and how.
Yes.
Like I'd like to look into that more. But it makes sense to me that more active kids generally are more healthy kids, generally would need less healthcare as long as they're not breaking bones.
Yeah.
And then physically active youth are less likely to become obese, especially in adulthood.
Mm-hmm.
And so that activity level as a kid continues to impact your future for years and years and years. Okay. That'll be enough stats for now. I just find them interesting.
Yeah.
They are, for sure.
I think
how they start young and how it impacts the rest of your life.
Yeah.
I think sports are incredible.
Mm-hmm.
I want my kids to be in them. I think that it's a healthy thing to do. However, I think that if you're not going to play sports, if your child is not going to be in sports, they should be involved in something, whether that be speech, right? You hated sports, so
is fencing a sport?
Yeah,
I liked martial arts.
Yeah, martial arts was good, but you did that in college, so that was after.
It's good to have a hobby
but
or an activity.
There is music.
An,
there is theater. I think
I was in band.
If they're pursuing their interests and it's you know something that's going to enrich them, I absolutely you know think that's great. I was in DECA throughout high school.
There you go.
So that
art.
Was great.
See. Art, I sucked at art.
I also think, though, for the here's my proposal. I've thought this for years. People like me who hate gym class and dread it, and just years and years of experience and trauma, apparently from gym class. I think they need to have alternatives to gym class that teach healthy body movement exercise that you can do like individually and not have to participate in broomball or baseball or anything where there's a whole bunch of balls, dodgeball, balls being thrown at you. Like, geez.
At a simple level, even like in my daughter, when they go to the, you know, before kids zone, before school, it's like half the class goes to the gym to do all of that. And the other half stays and either does crafts, does like, Mancala board games.
Love it. They have the option. They have the option of that. yoga. Yeah. Let me just be on a treadmill and go for a walk. Let me use the exercise equipment. That's actually much more real life than doing the sports, unless you're like actually signed up for a team as an adult. I mean, most people just go to the gym and they lift weights or they do whatever personal fitness stuff there. Teach kids how to do that and extend healthy habits that way. Yeah. So that's my soapbox, being someone who didn't grow up loving sports. I think they're great, but also have an option for people who are scared of that competition.
Yeah, for sure.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I got a couple more here.
Okay.
But they're really short, so I'm just going to cherry pick from them a little bit and maybe pull in some like real life experiences that we've maybe had.
Sure.
So the theme of this one is what the hell is going on with coaches and parents at sporting games. We've had parents make several racist remarks to players from the sidelines, scream at their kids, push players, have their players fake injuries to run out the clock. At baseball last week, we had a few parents come to the bleachers on our side and heckle the other players in the dugout.
Hmm.
Some of the parents and even the coaches have been downright abusive to their own players, even. Like the angry dad, where you leave and you're worried about what is going to happen to that kid when they get home.
Yeah.
Simply because they lost a freaking game. It's out of control. Has anyone else experienced this?
That kind of stuff is bizarre and out of control. Okay, tell me your story.
I remember being at a hockey game, young, like squirt C level. And I had to be, that's pre-checking, you're not hitting.
Like how old is that? I have no idea.
I'd say you're fourth grade, give or take.
Okay.
And we were losing, or there was something transpired. I remember exactly where I was in the arena. There was a bad call. The ref messed something up, missed something. And one of the parents was so mad, was screaming. You could hear him through the arena, marched down the bleachers, jumped up over the glass and like halfway, right? Hanging and grabbed the referee.
Ooh.
What?
And then he got, you know, parents grabbed him, separated him. And then that individual was waiting for the referee, who had to be like 16 years old.
The ref was a kid?
Young.
Yikes.
Yeah, it was young dude, right?
Yeah.
Waited for the referee out in the parking lot.
You're kidding. Really? That's bananas. Ref
had to be like escorted out. And
what kid is going to want to ref again with that kind of treatment?
Yeah, that was bananas.
That's why I'm scared of being a hockey mom.
I don't think that really happens.
Parents get crazy. No,
often. It doesn't happen often.
Okay, one of my friends is a hockey mom, and her son is 12, and she told us a story about how they went out of the city limits for a tournament, and she talked about how the parents were yelling such like bananas things, like this, something like, what was it? Oh, you're coming up here for our boys to teach you how to be men, or something like really weirdly weird at 12-year-old little boys. Just wanting to play hockey, and the swearing and the,
parents live through their kids a lot of the times, especially when it comes to, once you get competitive. So like your story, mine wasn't as intense, but like AAU traveling basketball teams, like your parents, it's like a core parents that they're together every single weekend for 5 months, 4 months out of the year, you're traveling. And there's always this one dad on the team that, like, if his kid got 2 to 3 fouls, you could just like throughout the game, you could hear him from the sidelines. It'd be building up, and he get kicked out all the time. I was like, man,
how embarrassing.
Tom is a kid on our team. I was like, and I could just see him, like, he'd always do this, like, Every time his dad would get kicked out, his mom wouldn't. His dad always would.
Oh my!
But you can hear him like just screaming at the ref. There's always the dad screaming at the ref. The dad would, or the ref would turn to the dad in the crowd, like stop the mm-hmm. game, and would kick him out. That sucked. That happened at least once every three tournaments. And then the other one was my own mother was involved. And what? I wasn't even involved in the play. So I remember like I got a steal and I threw it to my buddy Max. He was going up for a layup. And as he was going up, he got like undercut from the legs. And I don't think it was on purpose, but maybe it was. I didn't really see it. And he just, you know, he landed awkwardly. My mom got up like, she doesn't really do that. She'll scream from the sideline, but cheer. Not like get up because it was like right on the baseline. She's like, "You can't do that." And then the kid who undercut his dad came up. He's like, "Step back, motherfucker." Like right to my mom, like right in front of me. I was like, "Whoa." So like me and my buddy Max had to like separate it. And I was like, "Holy crap."
Wow.
Yeah. And then that's all that really happened. Nothing beyond that.
But yeah.
It's like when you get to that stage where your parents start to live through your kids, that yeah. it's you kind of lose the whole point of it, the whole experience for your kid.
I can see being proud of your kid. I can see wanting to cheer them on and being encouraging. Mm-hmm. But I think that it goes a step too far when you are living through your kids mm-hmm. and that becomes part of your identity.
Yeah.
I think that if that is you, you need to take a step back and find a hobby of your own or find where your self-worth is because that's too much pressure mm-hmm. to put on your kid
yep.
to have what your kid does be your measure of your self-worth.
Yeah.
I do. Oh, what if there is some other parent in the crowd who is making derogatory, terrible comments about your child playing? I could see myself. I don't know how I would handle that because that's when your like defensive mama bear comes out and be yeah. like, "Excuse me.
Yeah.
No, thank you." And that probably is not going to be effective.
No, but you know,
they're going to get in your face and then you're going to have to smack down with that
martial
arts. And
then I will be kicked out yeah. of the
That's
game.
That's when you stand up for yourself and your kid.
Right.
I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, so like no, you can't
say this.
Right. And hopefully people around will not misconstrue that going on as being then more than just defending your kid. But maybe they're thinking, I don't know. And they're
Amy, say something.
I don't know. I hope I'm never in that position, but I could see myself having a very hard time.
Mm-hmm. It'll happen to all of us.
Not sure. Getting.
Or somebody will say it loud enough, but not wanting you to hear it, but they'll say it too loud and you'll be like, so like, do I respond to that? Cause I wasn't like loud, like, come on, George.
Like if it's indirect kind of.
Yeah. But like,
I could see myself being passive aggressive
in that situation.
Yeah. You know, if they're being like,
it's like two moms talking and that you
get them, check them or whatever. I don't know. Maybe checking isn't allowed. Or me being like just yelling, not to the person, but out into the crowd. Checking's not allowed. We're all going to be good sports. I'm going to embarrass Matt and probably my children someday.
Yes.
I don't know. We'll see.
All right. That was good. what about coaches or in our instance, a teacher from a former school, a basketball coach, and some inappropriateness? Mm. Why don't you tell us a story about
that?
About that. Mm. That's really interesting, right?
Yeah.
People within a position of power.
Yep. Yeah, it's hard.
Yeah, it makes you as a mom sometimes kind of like I've heard some of these stories and I haven't heard yours, so I'm excited to hear it. Mm-hmm. But almost be nervous to like put your kid into a locker room and have them do all the sports thing. You really need to have that full trust in that authority figure.
Yeah, and this
because what happened in that situation?
And this is after the fact too. So it's a total like after this happened, you're like, what? Like he taught us so many things of how to be a good man and like how to, if you're on time, you're late. If you're a half hour early, you're on time. and how you should treat your body and dive on the floor for loose balls and hustle and all these things of like
all these positive things.
Yeah, hustling through life, hustling through sports, how to be a good teammate.
Well, what happened?
And if you saw like his point of view, like some guys were just like, he's too hardcore, or he's an asshole, or I was like, well, if you listen, understand what he's trying to teach you. And to this day, I am never late, because if you were late, like if you were 10 minutes early to practice, your whole team had to run around the whole school like countless times. Or if you're 15 minutes early, like you had to be on time. You're a half an hour early. You're on time. You got your ankle braces on. You're already on the court stretching. Anyway, so long story short, after I graduated and our class graduated, he became a math teacher at that same school. At the same time, he ended up getting in, and he had this cute kid and happily married, or so we thought. But after school hours one day, some parent came in to grab a backpack that their kid forgot, and they caught the coach and math teacher having sexual relations with another mom on top of the desk in the math room. So he got caught for that.
What? Okay, but an adult.
What?
It was a mom.
It was a mom.
Okay.
Yep, it was a mom. He got caught, was fired from the school, somehow got hired at a different high school within the same vicinity, and then ended up a couple years later after that, ended up he voluntarily kept offering to drive girls home to their houses
from the
school. Huh. From the math class if they stayed late.
Math club.
Yes. He offered to always drive them home. And then the story started to come out of, I'm not going to say the name of, Mr. So-and-so said this, Mr. So-and-so offered this, Mr. So-and-so said this. And now
like soliciting in a way?
Yeah, or trying
inappropriate.
To
get, and yes. Flirting and being inappropriate with students.
Yes. And now he's in jail. But now.
So it must have been real inappropriate.
Yeah.
If he ended up being in jail.
Yep.
Were there actions?
Yeah, actions were like indirectly enough where the student could tell what was happening.
Oh.
And they were reporting it. And enough that would throw him in jail. And so now it's like, here's this man that was telling us of how to live life and be a man and be on time and
honorable.
I played with him from eighth grade through senior year every single flipping day, like summertime, open gyms, the season, obviously, and stuff like that, and practices. And
that's what's scary. You think you know somebody.
You think you know a guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And well, we had a teacher. I had a teacher who happened to be a football coach and then would also invite the cheerleaders over to hot tub at his residence. So...
How is that not a fireable offense?
Super sketchy. I don't know. But I think that brings up a dynamic of people within a position of power and how they can take advantage of those that they're overseeing.
Mm-hmm.
So from a parent's perspective of always just keeping your head on a swivel and knowing what's going on and who your children are around. And even
tell your kids if something doesn't feel right, you know, tell somebody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But also it's going to be the responsibility of that parent to be open to receiving that information and to be believing your child and not just, you know, your kid has to feel safe coming to you with that information.
Right.
Because I have heard from one of those now long time ago graduated cheerleaders that if they didn't, other people told them that they couldn't participate in cheering then the next day or whatnot. It wasn't even just him. Like there were other adults that didn't support them in them coming forward and speaking up and being like, oh, this is giving me the ick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where was everybody else?
Right. Mm-hmm. I have no idea. Or how other people didn't think to point this out.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Mind blown.
That is what I had on some topics revolving around sports tonight.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's good.
Yeah. I mean.
It's a thing.
I'm pro sports. I am not a volunteer like you yet. I'm currently building a house, but you coach. You coach T-ball.
I
do coach,
and I love it. Like, yeah, I coach, I volunteer. You don't get paid for it, but like I go home very happy. Like you're making a difference.
Yeah.
Your team's improving.
And those.
Like, an awesome thing, like our last game, I was like, there's a, so I'm, you know, you're still at the age where the coaches can be in the field. It's softball. So you can be in the field, like when your team's on the field, to kind of coach them and mm-hmm. whatever. So we had a girl with softball, 8U girls team, three coaches and myself coach. And this one girl was playing second base and there's a lefty up. And I was like, hey, so-and-so, just scoot two feet to your left. She's like, why? Just scoot 2 feet to your left. Bing! Right to her.
Oh, the first, fun.
Got her out. She looks back at me. She's like, oh, you were right. I was like, yes, I was.
That you were amazing.
Happened twice that game. I was like, this is awesome.
Lefties, yeah, yeah. Teaching lessons.
I was like, she's hit it here the last 3 times. And they listen. They move over.
Well, so, how amazing, what an influence a good coach can have on
yeah.
a kid's life.
Mm-hmm.
That's also amazing. I really think that the coach that is coaching Eloise's softball is fantastic right now.
Tell them that too.
I will.
Because when I coached T-ball, I thought I was just wrangling kids.
Yeah.
One parent came up to me at the end of the season and was like, you did so good with those kids. Only yeah. one parent, one comment. And I was like, thank you.
Yeah.
That's all I needed to hear.
Yeah.
That gave me the confidence to coach the softball.
So encouraging.
Yeah.
So, you know, for these little girls who are just starting out playing the sport, mm-hmm. so like supportive, giving tips, giving pointers or whatever. I also love that he looks and sounds exactly like Charlie Behrens. Do you know who that is?
No.
The comedian, the Midwest comedian?
Oh, like, yeah.
The Wisconsin, could be his Wisconsin guy. Yep, twin. Yeah. I think.
I know exactly who you're talking about now that you said that.
Yes. So makes it 10 times better for me to sit back and listen to his Midwest accent, mm-hmm. like just cheering these girls on. Good hit.
Yeah.
Way to go.
Yeah.
Cute.
Awesome. Got anything else, guys?
No. Good stuff. All right.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. Thanks for being here.
Time out. Amy, stand up.
Why?
And show people your shirt. You promised. This, stand up.
I am, sort of. They can see me.
Oh, well, you put your arms up. It crinkled your shirt.
Oh, okay.
There you go. There it is.
The shirt that was promised that I drunkenly bought off of, inspired by TikTok scrolling, but bought off of Etsy one night from the ACOTAR book series.
Probably inspired by that half a bottle of wine you had.
Oh, yeah, that too. Yeah.
That always helps. So.
Very good. Well, thank you for listening to another episode of Midwest Married. We're so happy that you're here and hanging out with us and helping us grow. We really appreciate all the likes, all the comments, and we hope that you'll stick around and keep watching more, listening.
Please be sure to follow, like, subscribe. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
Have a good night.